If you've got an outline, you can pull that out. I think it's the first one, Why Pneumatology. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to 2 Corinthians 13, or maybe turn your Bible app on to 2 Corinthians 13. I put the verse in there that I'm going to spring from. Derek, thank you for your kind words. Very, very kind of you. We are so excited to be with you. The folks that travel with me and I, we've been praying for several days about our time with you. And we come with faith, like you do, to see what God's going to do over the next couple of days. And our prayer before the meeting tonight was all that happens tonight and tomorrow would be for the glory of Christ. Our prayer is that we would leave here tonight and tomorrow afternoon driving home with God bigger in our eyes, more amazed at His goodness and how He loves His people. So keep praying that way. May that be accomplished. Before really spending most of our time on looking at the spiritual gifts, I think it's best to step back and look at this whole topic of pneumatology. Pneumatology is a theological term, word, that really means the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. So why is pneumatology, why is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, why is it important to you as an individual Christian? Why is it important to this church or the church that you are a part of? And thank, if you're not a part of this church, thank you for being here. So grateful for you to be here. So why is pneumatology important? Thomas Goodwin, put this quote in your outline, sort of answers that for us. There's a general omission in the saints of God in their not giving the Holy Ghost that glory that is due to His person. The work He does for us in its kinds is as great as those of the Father and the Son. We have to understand the work of the Holy Spirit, the personal work of the Holy Spirit, and why that's important, which I hope to address tonight. And I'm going to spring from one verse, although we'll look at other verses, 2 Corinthians 13, 14. As you know, the word Trinity is not in your Bible, but there are several verses that teach on the Trinitarian nature of the Godhead. One God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of those verses was written with divine inspiration by the Apostle Paul as he's wrapping up his second letter to the Corinthians. This is really sort of in the benediction of the letter. And he writes to the Corinthians this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, meaning God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. It's one of those verses in your Bible that speaks to the Trinitarian nature of the Godhead. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless the teaching and the preaching of your word. So, nine reasons. I'm going to move through this pretty quickly. Nine reasons pneumatology is important. First, we are Trinitarian theologians. Every one of us, whether you're a pastor or not, you are a Trinitarian theologian because Scripture consistently reveals God to us as one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 is one of those proof texts. So to be people who understand sound doctrine and to build churches on sound doctrine, we must be Trinitarian theologians and believe in the Trinitarian nature of the Godhead. I included a quote in your outline from the Sovereign Grace Statement of Faith. That's our denomination's statement of faith, the statement of faith of this church. And it says this, it's so well written: the one true God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, infinitely excellent and all glorious. Each person is fully God, sharing the same deity, attributes, and essential nature. Yet there is but one God. Each person is distinct. Yet God is not by this distinction divided into three parts, natures, or gods. The Father has always existed as Father, the unbegotten fountain of life. The Son has always existed as Son, eternally begotten of the Father, uncreated and without beginning, one of one essence with the Father. The Holy Spirit has always existed as Spirit, eternally proceeding from the Father and the Son, and of one essence with them. The Godhead thus exists in a perfect unity, indivisible as to the nature and substance, yet inseparably distinguished as persons who enjoy a fullness of fellowship and love. A lot of good theology in a paragraph, right? A lot of good theology that is supposed to be doxology, right? You read that and you just want to worship God because He is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Second reason pneumatology is important. I think it's important for us Christians to grasp this one. There is an incomprehensibility of the Spirit that's intended to humble us. God is infinite and we are finite. And we will spend all eternity knowing more of God, including the person of the Holy Spirit. There's an incomprehensibility for us finite creatures to know all that we're supposed to know about the Spirit, and that is intended to humble us. God Himself is not fully comprehensible by our finite minds, and that includes the Holy Spirit. To say it another way, there is an appropriate mystery to God, right? An appropriate mystery, therefore, about the Holy Spirit as well. Graham Cole has written an excellent book on the Spirit. It's entitled He Who Gives Life, and this is what he says. Mystery, as I'm using the term, is an epistemological claim about an ontological reality. It is an expression of epistemic humility rather than epistemic arrogance. God has spoken. God has made His name known, that is, His very nature, truly, if not exhaustively. But the more one considers the revelation of God, the more there is to know, and the more one knows how little one knows. Right? It's well said. That humbles us, doesn't it? As we get to know God, there's so much more we realize we don't know about Him, and we need to know more. So as we continue to study pneumatology, as you continue to study the Godhead, may it humble you, rightly so. And as we learn more about the person and work of the Holy Spirit, may we realize there's actually so much more we need to know about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Third reason pneumatology is important, and obviously, Derek talked about this in his introduction tonight. We are gospel-centered people who are in a gospel-centered church. And I don't know if you're not in this church. I don't know your church, but you believe the gospel, right? And the gospel is there, so that's what I mean. We are gospel-centered people who are in a gospel-centered church. And this is a point we can miss. Trinitarian theology is vital, essential to gospel centrality. So Trinitarian theology is vital to gospel centrality. John Feinberg writes this: as to the Holy Spirit, if He is not fully God, the implications for salvation are again serious. Scripture teaches that the Holy Spirit regenerates believers and indwells and fills them. But if the Holy Spirit is a lesser God or no God at all, how can we be sure that He can do any of those things? Moreover, unless He is co-equal in being and purpose with the Father and the Son, what guarantees that even if He tried to do such things, the Father and the Son would recognize His actions as appropriate and relate to us accordingly? He's saying that the Spirit is involved in our salvation. We don't have gospel work. We don't have the gospel at work in our lives without the work of the Spirit and the work of the Father and the work of the Son. But we're talking about the work of the Spirit. So if He's not fully God, then our salvation is at stake. So Trinitarian theology is vital to gospel centrality. Verses that point to the Holy Spirit as being fully God are key to the work of the gospel in someone's life. That's why 2 Corinthians 13:14 is so important, because it speaks of the three persons of the Trinity as co-equal in nature and in essence, and obviously in deity. Matthew Henry writes this: Paul's benediction of 2 Corinthians proves the doctrine of the gospel and is an acknowledgement that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are three distinct persons, yet but one God. And herein the same, that they are the fountain of all blessings to men. It likewise intimates our duty, which is to have an eye by faith to Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to live in a continual regard to the three persons in the Trinity, into whose name we are baptized, and in whose name we are blessed. So Trinitarian theology is key, it's vital to gospel centrality. Okay, number four, fourth reason. We are people dependent on the Holy Spirit to illuminate Scripture to us. Christians are people of the Word. Once you are born again, you become a person of the Word. You love the Word. You want to be in the Word. But again, we have finite minds with indwelling sin that can still remain. So our comprehension of the Word is limited. We will spend all of our day in this life learning more about the Word of God. And we need the Spirit to help us to do that. That's one of the works of the Spirit. So therefore, for our souls to be personally affected and strengthened by the Word of God, to grasp the sound doctrine that it communicates, we are dependent upon the Spirit to illuminate Scripture to us. And not just the work of illumination, to keep us from being distracted, I think. How many of you, this is a common experience with me, how many of you, you sit down to spend time with God in His Word, and your mind trails off, and you realize 5 minutes later, yeah, maybe you're raising your hand, right? 5 minutes later, you're thinking about your vacation next year, or your to-do list for the day. This happens often with me. And one of the things I do, which I just did sometime in the last week, I stop and I pray. Spirit of God, fill me. Keep my mind focused on the Word. And as I read the Word, bring it to life. Not only in my mind, in my heart and my soul. We need that work of the Spirit in our lives if we are going to grow as Christians in understanding the Word of God. That's why it's important. Number five, we believe that effective preaching is dependent on the Spirit's power. So the preaching that you hear in this church or the church that you're from is dependent upon the Spirit's power. And if the Spirit is not present and helping the preacher, it will not have life and it will not transform your life as you hear the message preached. Paul was very clear about this in his own ministry and in his first letter that he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. I put these verses in your outline. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul was glad that he preached in weakness. He was glad that he wasn't the most eloquent preacher. What he put his confidence in was that as he preached, the Spirit of God would be present and there would be a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that people would not place their faith in him, the preacher, but in God, because they were seeing a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You want preaching like that, don't you? And if you're here and you're a preacher, you feel your need every time you step up here. You need the power of the Spirit, because we want people to place their faith in God and not in us. And He gets all the glory. Okay, sixth reason it's important. We are people dependent on the Holy Spirit to reassure us of our adoption. One of the greatest gifts of the gospel. We are adopted as sons and daughters by God. And I think this is important for Christians. And I'm going to mention this again tomorrow. I think most of us, I don't want to be absolute and say all of us, but I think most of us, and I include myself in most, we can have this tendency at times to have what John Owen called hard thoughts about God. Hard thoughts about God. We can trail off in our mind and be going through a trial or a tribulation and think, God is punishing me. It's a hard thought about God. Or that you've had a week and you've just had a lot of conflict maybe in your marriage, or you've gotten angry with the kids, and you're just aware of how you've sinned this week, and you come to church with shame. You're thinking that God, he just kind of wants to step back and say to you, you work out your problems and then I'll re-engage with you. That's a hard thought about God. That's not true of God. We can all have hard thoughts about God, and that's why we need the Spirit's work to reassure us that he not only loves us, he loves us as a son by name or a daughter by name. We need to know that, and that is one of the works of the Spirit according to Romans chapter 8 verses 14 through 17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons, daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself does what? Bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is an important work of the Spirit that reassures us that we have been adopted by God. It's an important part of the gospel working in your life, because we can all have hard thoughts about God. Okay, seventh reason, pneumatology is important. We are people dependent on the Holy Spirit to grow in Christ. Now, again, another work of the Spirit. You see it in Romans 8 there, verses 12 through 13. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. He's talking about sinful flesh there, obviously. For if you live according to the flesh, according to sin, you will die. But if by the Spirit, what does the Spirit do? You put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. So, sanctification, our growth, progressive growth in Christ's likeness over time, requires the work of the Spirit. We mortify sin, we kill sin, not in our own strength, but by the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh, the deeds of sin. Now, we got to get this right. You got to get your theology of your sanctification right. Sanctification requires your intentional effort. In other words, you want to pursue godliness and Christ-like growth in your life, and it requires God's power and God's work in your life. I think a great text that demonstrates that is Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, where Paul writes to the Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So we are to work out. We're to pursue godliness, our salvation with fear and trembling, but we don't do that alone, for, as it says in verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And the way that God works in us, Romans 8 tells us, is that the Spirit works in our lives to help us to put sin to death so that we will live more by the Spirit as men and women who have been born again by the Spirit of God. Isn't that good news? That our growth doesn't depend upon our strength alone. Because if that were the case, whew, this would be a really hard life, wouldn't it? But that's not the case. The Spirit is given to us for that purpose. Okay, eighth reason, we are people who need the Holy Spirit to make much of Christ. Derek said this, I'm so glad he did. When we look at pneumatology, when we look at the gifts, I'm going to draw connections to the gospel and to the supremacy and glory of Christ. And this is one of those points. The Spirit, we need the Spirit to help us make much of Christ. So on the day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ, what does he do? He pours out his Spirit on those disciples in the upper room, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy found in the book of Joel. And it is the Spirit now who continues to bear witness about Christ and his work in the gospel through Christians as the gospel advances. People are saved and they are discipled in the church. We need the Spirit to do that. And even though the Spirit works in distinct ways, so some of the ways we talked about, regeneration, or helping us grow in our sanctification, or giving us power to use our gifts, those are distinct works of the Spirit. Even though those are distinct works of the Spirit, His work consistently points to Christ. J.I. Packer has this wonderful quote in his book, Keep in Step with the Spirit. He says this, "It is as if the Spirit stands behind us, throwing light over on Jesus, who stands facing us. The Spirit's message to us is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me, but always, look at Him and see Him and see His glory and get to know Him and hear His word. Go to Him and have life. Get to know Him and taste His gift of joy and peace." That's a wonderful work of the Spirit in our lives. If the Spirit's work is to make much of Christ, then we need the Spirit to make much of Christ in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, and in our churches. And it's important that we, I'll give you a quote tomorrow that makes this point. You got to keep your pneumatology connected to your Christology. You got to do that. They're not, you can study them separately, but the way they work in our lives and in Scripture is you got to keep them connected. And the Spirit helps us to do that. Okay, ninth and last reason. And I'm moving through this quick because it's a Friday night. You've had a long week. You just had dinner. And you're here. So I'm so grateful. And the way I'm moving through this, I'm going to take a few questions. All right, number nine. We are dependent on the Spirit to empower our gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. We'll look at this tomorrow, and maybe tonight. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So why do a whole weekend on the gifts of the Spirit? It's a good plan. It's because you want to grow and understand the gifts and in using the gifts and seeing how the gifts are used in a way that give Christ glory. But to do that, you need power. We were just praying before this meeting, all that we will enjoy tonight and tomorrow is a work that man can't do. You just can't. We're not that good. We're not that powerful. We're not that strong. We need the Spirit's power. And we'll see this in the next session. It is the Spirit who empowers our gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. So as we devote a weekend to looking at the gifts, what's implied is that we need the Spirit's power regardless of what gift God's given you.